The Klingon Assault Group is a body of Star Trek fans that has come together to enjoy all things Klingon. Why Klingon? I could chalk it up to the determination that is part of the warrior spirit the Klingon race represents. I could say it was to look at reality from a different perspective, how things could have been if everybody tried hard to be their very best to each other, with Klingon honor. It could be the chance to take an existing fictional system and explore new areas about how it was created. How did the language, which we are still building on, come to be? How and why are holidays, not of this planet, celebrated? It could be a chance to envision new foods and drink. It could be a chance to cosplay, not as an individual, but in a group who has common interests together and wants to share them with the public. It could just be the first rule of CAG. Have fun. No matter what your interests are, no matter what you want to learn or be a part of developing, no matter what you do, the most important thing is to be having fun. If a hobby isn't fun, why do it? CAG offers many opportunities to have fun doing interesting things. If you like to cook, we have recipes for you. If you like making interesting drinks, we have recipes for that too. If you like to learn new languages, we have many experienced Klingon speakers within our ranks who love to share their knowledge. We even have members translating great works of fiction back to their original Klingon, and songsmiths turning pop songs into Klingon songs. If you like to learn new cultures, CAG encourages learning about Klingon culture and even developing your own aspects. Like to make costumes? CAG has guides to help you get building. If you like conventions, CAG is there. This is where we started. From showing off our work at fan tables, to running panels about the things we've learned and done, to just being the Klingons at the convention. CAG develops the tools to allow these things to happen. You can be part of that development. Join CAG. It's your duty to serve the Empire. Cup luck.
We're going to be talking in this segment about Klingon culture and the various things that go to make up Klingon culture in the Klingon universe of Earth. And to do that, we've got Kartan with us for this segment to talk about clerics, cooking, and just various aspects of what goes to make up life in the CAG universe of Earth. Kartan, introduce yourself.
Kavan. Yes, I am Kartan. I go by the Klingon cleric, and I reside at the Monastery of Boreth. My goal is to be a guide to Klingons who just need some guidance in the warrior way, the ways of Kalos, history, culture, and just what it means to be a Klingon. I do a lot of talks. When conventions were more easily accessible, I used to be invited to do panels at the request of the Fetties. They said that they were looking for Klingon culture, an outreach program. You know, Federation students at their Starfleet Academy had questions about what Klingon life was like. So I did my best to answer that. So yeah, that's the nuts and bolts of what I'm all about and what I do.
Did you ever take any of those appearances that you're making on the Fetty side to preach the word of Kalos?
I would say that whenever someone speaks about the ways of honor, you stand as a light, like a beacon, the beacon of Kalos, if you will, and a true warrior will respond to that. You don't need to, what's the word the Fetties use? Evangelize. You just demonstrate what it means to have honor. And if that speaks to another warrior, they will respond. If it doesn't, then they're without honor and they're really not worth, spending your time teaching the way. It would be like gobflies to Gishnarkats, if you will.
Well, I mentioned that because one of our earlier podcasts on the CAG podcast was recording the 10 precepts of the Klingon Art of War as sermons. Yep.
Interesting. Yeah. I would say that is definitely something you do at the monastery or as a chaplain on a ship to the warriors. You know, they've already accepted and are living the life of Kalesh, inspired by him. So preaching to the choir, so to speak, preaching to the faithful, so to speak. But yeah, no, I don't do a lot of that at a FETI convention, as my understanding of your question was. Yeah.
Yeah, well, basically I wrote all of these up so that people could have something in their back pocket as if there's nothing going on for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And everybody's bored out of their mind. You get up on something and you start preaching the word of Kalesh.
Yeah. I have a YouTube channel, Kartan the Klingon Cleric. And just last Tuesday in my Tuesday live stream, Trek Tuesdays, I call it, I was talking on the 10th precept. And I was basically outlining what Klingon life, a life of honor, looks like. And I kind of went beyond just what it looks like to a Klingon from a Klingon's point of view. I put it in terms for humans living the Klingon lifestyle, as so many of our followers do.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do with the sermons, too. Mm-hmm. Where can they find this YouTube channel?
So, I mean, if there's a way I can share a link with you that you can add to your page, I can certainly do that. But if they were to just on YouTube look up Kartan, Khartan, the Klingon Cleric, they'll find my channel. Just started it, so I've only got an introductory video and the one that I just mentioned. And what I hope to be the first in a series of cooking videos, Eshoj Kotnos, or Good Food Kronos. I guess people have compared it to a show that the Fetties have called Good Eats. But I talk about, in my first episode, I talk about the preparation of gach and how to do that, especially when you're out in the field cut off from a supply of live gach. You know, here in the Federation, sometimes you can't get live gach smuggled across the neutral zone, so you have to make do with what you've got available to you.
Have you checked with Captain Chizui, commander of the Dark Moon?
The Games Chancellor.
Yeah, the Games Chancellor. Mm-hmm. She's trying to put together a CAG YouTube channel. I think right now she's got the videos from CAGCon, which might be another place for you to get these videos posted for mm-hmm. people to find.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have subscribed to the channel, and I've seen a couple of the videos. So yeah, I'll talk to her, sure.
Because mm-hmm. the more videos we get out there, the more benefits to CAG members.
And I would say that, you know, we were talking in the green room before the show. I was saying that, you know, you might look at the Klingon Cleric doing cooking videos, but I really do feel that food is an integral part of Klingon culture. You really can't separate language, food, and culture. Those and history, those things are all intimately connected. So I talk in my first video on gach, I talk about its relevance in cuisine, what I suspect the history of it is throughout Klingon culture, why it's become so much a staple, drawing correlations between gach and other staple foods for the humans that might be following it, so they can kind of get a conceptual idea. Because I think there are certain truths, certain elements of culture and certain elements of history that are common across sentient life forms.
And well, especially humanoid sentient life
exactly, forms. Exactly. And in videos that I'm expecting to do really in the next couple of weeks, as we're ramping up the holiday season to Ram Nitai, the Feast of the Long Night, I will be doing a lot of videos about that and about the foods around that holiday and the history of that holiday and so forth, because, you know, we are entering the holiday season. However, it's interesting. I'm actually planning my next food video, which I'm going to put under the banner of Eshoj Kotnos, is actually not going to be a Klingon food. I'm going to honor our Wookiee friends as they get ready to celebrate Life Day on Tuesday. And I'm going to do a video making wasakaberry pudding, a traditional Wookiee food that I think a lot of people would enjoy.
I'll bet you that video is going to be better than the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Well, and I am going to be a guest on another YouTuber's channel, Professor Geek, on Tuesday as we actually do a rewatch of the Star Wars Holiday Special. This will be the second year we're doing it, so we're keeping that tradition alive.
I'm sorry for you.
You know, I think there's something to be said for good bad films, and I think the Star Wars Holiday Special is definitely one of them. Let's face it, Star Trek has had its share of good bad films and shows.
I think they all the genres have, and yeah, yep. there's a really good tradition of the good bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
We saw too many bad movies on Sci-Fi Channel, but you go back to the 50s and 60s and
Ed Wood and that sort of thing.
Oh God, those movies shine now.
Right? Yep. Yep. Can't forget your history and yeah, and keeping these things all in perspective. Yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun. So one of the things as a Klingon cleric when I was thinking it through, we all remember the episode of Star Trek, Rightful Heir, right? Where we first were exposed to the Monastery of Boreth and its history and its purpose. And I started to think, you know, these clerics, I don't believe they would only reside at the monastery, right? I imagine that Klingons probably have these clerics out among their population, on ships, as a shipboard position, just like the Fetties have a chaplain, right? And what does a chaplain do? A chaplain has to speak to the spiritual health of the crew, regardless of what their particular philosophy, religion, denomination is, right? And my philosophy for the Klingon clerics is you have to minister to Klingons of very different beliefs. We have seen Klingons have very different beliefs. Some are more spiritual than others. Some are not spiritual at all, but they follow a warrior philosophy that still needs to be ministered to. There are different beliefs even in the spiritual realm. You have followers of Kalish. You have followers that are expecting the return of Kalish. There's others that don't believe he's coming back. They take him more as allegorical. There's the followers of the Kuvama that some may consider not reconcilable with the followers of Kalish. Others, you know, see that as perfectly compatible. And I think a Klingon chaplain would have to speak to all of those beliefs in ministering to a ship or to a community of Klingons.
And more importantly, a cleric would have to go in and listen to the people that he's responsible for and offer them the advice to the doubts they may have in the various sects that they believe in.
If I can go back to my own personal history with it, where did this come from? Where did this idea of taking on this role of a Klingon cleric come from? I'm going way back to the 80s when I first got into fandom, and someone said, just silly talk, just, you know, speaking off the cuff like you do, you know, they had just had the Next Generation and the Federation had introduced this concept of a ship's counselor. And they said, what would a Klingon ship's counselor be like? And there was all this joke. Oh, you just have a morale motivation officer who'd walk around with a whip and slap you around and say, get over your problems. But then, you know, the episode Rightful Heir came out, and I'm like, that is your Klingon counselor. Sometimes you just need a chaplain to help you focus, especially during combat. Don't forget why you're doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Doubts. You have doubts. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You need somebody to talk you through those.
And
doubts.
We see it so much with Worf, right? Now, I consider Worf to be a bad example. Worf is a Klingon who grew up in the Federation, who has kind of a third-person view of Klingon culture, right?
I
don't always see him as the most reliable translator of Klingon culture. But for many Fetties, that's all they had, right? I think a better point of view character for Klingon culture would have been Maltz, who was the Klingon who was dishonored by the Federation and taken back as a prisoner of war during the whole Genesis device incident.
Star Trek 3, yeah.
But it was from that the Federation learned so much about Klingon culture and language. That was the start of their understanding of Klingons. Worf added to it, but Worf was on a journey of discovery himself and oftentimes found that the ideals that he believed didn't always hold up perfectly in the real world. And
he was often disappointed.
Yeah.
By the Klingons he ran into that didn't subscribe to what he had read as being the way.
And sometimes there's a give and take there, right? So he may have had a misunderstanding that he needed to adjust, but sometimes he understood the ideals and was able to call to the Klingons and say, hey, this is your ideal and you're not living up to it. So there's a little bit of both perspectives that I think are important. And I feel that is the role of a Klingon cleric to say, look, I know this is not what Klingons always do, but this is what we believe and this is what we strive for. I think most humans can relate to this too. They have a religious ideal that they don't always live up to. In fact, almost never live up to. But that doesn't mean they stop trying and maybe sometimes need to be reminded of those ideals.
You talked about a Trek talk.
Yeah. So I've only done two so far. But on Tuesday nights at 9 Central, that would be 10 Eastern, I do about a one-hour live stream on my channel, on the Kartan, the Klingon Cleric. And I mix it up a little bit. Like last week was, like I said, I was talking about the 10th precept. Not just the 10th precept, but just how honor manifests in the Klingon life and how... And I take questions because there's a lot of Fetties that come in and want to challenge, you know, what they've seen in the shows. And I have to, you know, kind of put them in perspective for them. The previous week was really just an introductory talking about Star Trek news and my perspective on Star Trek and my history with Star Trek and kind of a setup for the channel. But we'll kind of see where it goes. I allow the stream to help guide me a little bit. I'll start out on a topic, but I'll let them ask questions and see where the interest is.
You mentioned the 10th precept. For our listeners, could you restate what that is?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. The 10th precept. So the 10th precept is guard honor above all. Okay? Honor is what separates Klingons from the beasts of the field, Kalish said. So my particular perspective is that all the other 9 precepts put together feed into honor. Honor kind of summarizes them all. And in fact, if you look at the Klingon symbol, the trefoil, right? You have the 3 parts, which are duty, sacrifice, and strength. And that circle around them that binds them together represents honor. Honor really does pull together all the different facets of Klingon life. It's been said, if you don't have honor, you don't have anything. And what good is it to live without honor? It's better to die with honor than to live disgraced.
It's the focus for life.
There's existence and there's life, right? And you can exist, but if you don't have honor, you're not living. You're just waiting to die. So that's really the 10th precept in a nutshell, as I see it.
What benefits within CAG come from the clerics? I mean, what are you doing within, other than making some videos? And that could be a question based on the fact that we're in a pandemic right now.
Yeah.
There's not much you can do. So again, what do you envision as possibilities?
So yeah, let me go back to before the circumstance and then talk to how a different age gives a different perspective. So CAG is, among other things, it's a community, right? It's a group of people. And you can't have a culture of one person. You know, culture specifically means the interaction of individuals in a society. And, you know, the...
Or a petri dish.
Well, yeah. Yeah. No, actually, you're absolutely right. You know,
it's the same thing.
If you literally just have one germ in a petri dish, it's not a culture. It's not a culture until it begins to become a colony and grow and multiply. Exactly. So if you don't have these interactions, you don't have a society, you don't have a culture, right? So that's where it starts. CAG is the Klingon culture for most warriors cut off from the home world. Whether you're in a particular fleet or a fleet within an armada,
a scout
many armadas within the Empire. Pardon me?
Or a scout ship looking for somewhere to go.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. If you're that lone raptor, so to speak, out there, you know, on the periphery, and you're cut off from the rest of the Empire, you lose your way pretty quick, right? You kind of need that stabilizing factor. So we've had conventions, we've had get-togethers, we've had meetups, we've had gatherings of the local ships, right, that have given us the opportunity to interact and develop that culture, right? Klingon Language Institute's doing a great job in their local areas getting Klingon language speakers together to learn the language, practice the language, because if you're not using it, you're losing it. And so much of culture does come from language. Language helps you to understand the mindset, the thinking of the people that the language represents.
We will have a speaker from KLI on this podcast.
Good
point. And I also like to point out that on Discord, there's literally a channel
right
for Klingon speaking.
Immersive Klingon language. Yeah, exactly. You absolutely need that. So this is what we've had until this year. And then we found ourselves cut off because we had to isolate ourselves, right? But in a way, we've had that problem even before this. There are individuals who are they are that lone raptor. They're the one Klingon with nobody around them for miles, and their only interaction is by computer, by phone, by mail, by whatever. So we are now finding all Klingons in that position. And now especially too, when we're thinking about people in different sectors, literally across borders, you know, trying to keep it together. And what is our commonality? It's our language, it's our culture. I mean, there's what I find, and now I'm not as fluent as others are in Klingon whole, but I've heard that there are Klingons in the US that interact with Klingons in Germany, and the only common language they have is Klingon. I think that's amazing. I think that's just brilliant. That's a perfect example of the commonality of language as part of culture.
About 20 or 30 years ago, I heard a report by one of the commentators on National Public Radio, and he was stuck in the middle of Japan at a train station and didn't know a word of Japanese until he saw a teenager walking down the platform with a t-shirt on that said, "I speak Klingon." He spoke Klingon, and so he got all the directions he needed with this teenager in Klingon.
That's awesome. That is awesome. That is just brilliant. Yeah, it is a language. It is, what is a language? It's a form of communication, right? And yeah, it breaks down barriers.
Culture. If you look at the way the language is, the way the language says things. I'm not really fluent on Klingon, so I can't use that as an example, but if you go to Spanish, tango hambre is the phrase for I'm hungry. Mm-hmm. What it actually means is
I have hunger.
I have hunger. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And my studies in English and Klingon have really helped me to understand language in general. Okay. So many times I will see in the Klingon language boards and whatnot. Usually it's people that don't speak Klingon at all wanting to say something in Klingon. So they'll come in and they'll say, how do you say this? And they're looking for a translation, which is fine. But invariably, the response question has to be, well, what do you mean by that? If you, for example, give an idiom, how would you say blind is a bat? You wouldn't, because a Klingon has no concept of even what a bat is, right? So you have to break down the meaning of the idiom, okay? I want to say I am as blind, I cannot see, and I am so incapable of seeing, it is like being some creature. So you'd need to find what is the Klingon version of a bat. Now, the fact is...
Or what is the Klingon version of a creature that can't see?
Exactly, because when you start breaking it down, the Terran bat isn't blind, right? It has an ability... Exactly, it has an ability that augments its sensory capability. So... what would you say? I'm as blind as a tachyon pulse? No, that's too literal. That isn't an idiom that would make sense. So you really have to break these things down. And what you're doing when you're doing that is getting into the thinking of a Klingon. So
and your culture wraps
exactly
into language.
Anyone who has studied the Klingon language absolutely has to study Klingon culture. For example, one of the things you learn very quickly as a Federation Terran language speaker learning Klingon, the humans have this constant need to add in extra concepts. Thank you, please, you know, small talk, chit chat. Klingons don't do that. It's not a mindset Klingons understand. You know, you just say what's on your mind and stop talking. And that's not considered rude to a Klingon. Because any extra talk is just, you know, you're wasting my time now.
Klingon greeting means what?
Well, there really isn't a Klingon greeting in and of itself. They don't expend any time. You just say what's on your mind. You go into a store and you say, you don't say, hello, how are you? You say, where do I find the such and such? Over there. If you're walking around just looking, a Klingon is not going to say, can I help you find something? They're going to say, buy or die. That is just the way Klingon culture works. It's a very different mentality than humans understand. However, since Klingons have been interacting with humans since the time of the Khitimer Accords, really, and there's been this cultural interchange, Klingons have had to try to understand humans also and understand that they have these traditions of greeting and hello and all this. So they've tried to accommodate the humans, right? So the most common greeting that Klingons have begun to adopt with humans, there's two. There is simply nuknech. What do you want? Let's get it done, right? If you are a diplomat, and again, you're trying to accommodate the Federation and their greeting, you know, tradition, there is a phrase, Chavan, you honor me, okay? It's meaningless to a Klingon. How do I honor you? I haven't done anything. I haven't even spoken to you or interacted with you yet. I haven't honored you, but it's a concession to the human. So Chavan, you honor me. And then you proceed from there.
Yeah, I was going with Nuknak and the fact that it means, what do you want? Let's get down to business.
Yep.
It's
not really a greeting per se, because it literally means, what do you want? And that's literally how the Klingons use it. So, for example, if I was a store owner and you came into my store, I might say to you, Nuknak. Because I'm literally asking you what you want. But you wouldn't walk into my store and say nuknech, because I don't want anything. I want to sell you something. What do you want? See? And I've seen so many humans come into a Klingon environment and say nuknech. And a Klingon's going to say nothing and then turn away from you. See? It's all how you use it.
Taught as the Klingon greeting.
Exactly, but that's not literally what it is. It's oftentimes a way of opening up a dialogue, but the right person needs to be using it. You would not enter the conversation saying nuknach. You would enter a conversation and just start talking. You would receive someone into your conversation by saying nuknach. Yeah.
He's standing around and you don't know what the hell he wants.
Yeah. What do you want? Oh, I just wanted to, you know, ask where the bathroom is, you know, or whatever, you know, or, you know, I am a new Klingon speaker and I wanted to listen to the language being used in regular speech. Okay, fine. You know, whatever. So yeah.
That other cultural perspective.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I don't care how you look at it. As you interact with other cultures, you need to sometimes make concessions, and there needs to be some kind of understanding. It can't always be, you're different from me, I'm going to kill you. No, Klingons aren't that one-dimensional, you know? So here's another aspect that came up in the last podcast. People have asked, you know, because there is this idea that Klingons are so backwards to the Federation in terms of medicine, right? Because there is this idea that if you're injured, you just push on and you just push on. And I said, again, I think that's oversimplifying an aspect of Klingon culture. I don't think a warrior is going to be that. Sure, a Klingon is going to be stubborn. He's not going to want to admit a weakness and not want to go and receive some sort of treatment. But if your ship breaks down, okay, the warp core goes offline or your weapons are misfiring, do you throw out the ship? No. You call in an engineer and say, fix it. This is a resource. This is my weapon that I need in order to continue as a warrior, right? You don't just throw out the whole ship.
The idea of Klingon medicine and how it needs to be improved is what we were dealing with in the Bound by Honor podcast of Keith DeCantio's books of the IKV Gorkon.
Yeah, I've read those, and you're absolutely right. They did specifically address that. I guess that's partly what I was thinking of when I was saying this. But really, what it comes down to is there's two aspects. One, like I said, you don't throw out the ship because something breaks down. You call in an engineer, you fix it, and you get it back out in the field. Right? Is a warrior not that much more valuable than a ship or a disruptor? A warrior has value too, a value to himself, to his house, and to the empire. He is a resource. And it is selfish of you to put your pride and your personal honor above your value to the empire. So sit down, shut up, get treated by the doctor, just as the ship needs to submit to the engineer to be fixed. Get yourself put together and get back out there. Because if you're out there running around with a broken leg, you are not at peak efficiency and you're not giving as much to the empire as you ought to be.
And I think that was the point the female doctor in those books was trying to make. If you can treat the warrior getting back to his full capacities again,
yep,
he's going to be a major asset.
Sometimes it really is just... And that's the kind of ministration that I was talking about for a cleric, right? Getting your head on straight. You know, is this really the best way? You know, is that interpretation of the warrior code the best one? It doesn't, your honor, your personal honor doesn't exist in a vacuum. Part of that is your family's honor, the empire's honor. When you are an individual warrior, it's not just about you winning this battle. It's the Klingon Empire winning the war. And sometimes a strategic withdrawal is not losing honor, it is being tactically wise. And sometimes that means, yep, I need to holster my weapon, go to sick bay, get myself fixed so I can get back out there and win more victory. Instead of just...
Or following your point of view, if we look at the first two Gorkon books, A Good Day to Die and Honor Bound, I think it was. If you look at those two books, the Gorkon doesn't win the battle to take the planet, mm-hmm. and they choose to leave. But when the other Klingons come in and to say, we're going to take over the planet, and they defend the children of mm-hmm. Santara from the other Klingons, they win the planet because yep. the children of Santara say, hey, you guys are honorable just like us. So,
yep.
okay, you conquered us.
Yep. And if you conquered us fairly, that's just how it is. And right, that's why I say honor is not, you don't have to be Klingon to have honor. We have discovered that with the Narendra 3 incident and the Federation, we realized, hey, they do understand honor. That incident that you referred to, that's another perfect example of a first contact that resulted in, hey, there's another race out there that has a warrior spirit that we can relate to. But I think that there's a selfish aspect to the personal honor that I often have to help Klingons out with. They focus on the proverb, Suvwipu Kantulube, right? There are no old warriors. Okay, admit it. But that doesn't mean that you have to die young. That's not, you're taking that too literally. In other words, if I don't die at a young age, that, you know, then I don't have honor. No. What that means if you die young is that you were an inept warrior and you got yourself killed. Okay? That's the misunderstanding of that concept. We have the great Dar masters that were clearly old as far as age, right? But how do you reconcile that with Suvwipukantulube? Well, obviously, it has to apply to them as well. So can you really say that they're old warriors? No. They are wise warriors. They are Dar masters, right? They have not been killed because nothing has been able to kill them. They have never dishonored themselves, so they have lived through all of their battles with honor, with courage, and undefeated. And that deserves respect and honor.
That's one of the concepts that they were trying to get across in the game Klingon mm-hmm. that I think Jonathan Frakes directed. Yes. Where your character in the story has to eventually accept.
I believe the character's name was Pa, right? I think.
Could be. It's been a while. Has to accept that the old warrior on the ship had done massive amounts of honorable things in his life and deserved the respect
yep.
that other crew members weren't yep. necessarily giving him.
Exactly. By the way, you remember who played that that old
warrior?
I believe
that was J.G.
Yes, it was. It was J.G. Hertzer. Yep. He's played some of my favorite Klingon characters. Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. This concept of writing a gathik, right, to honor an old warrior. I've actually done two of them for warriors in our sector who have fought a lot of battles that deserve to be honored. As new Klingons are coming into the fleet, they don't know these older Klingons that they don't see as much anymore. And their contributions to CAG, to the Empire, to fandom needs to be remembered. That's another thing that I encourage people to do is just like what was depicted in that game that you mentioned, writing a gathik for an old warrior is a good thing to do and a way to contribute to the lore of the Empire.
I've been trying to get people to think about the concept of writing their own songs to be told at conventions to add color to the mm-hmm. conventions.
Yeah, absolutely. I see a lot of language speakers kind of pushing that, but you don't need to be a language expert in order to put the ideas down on paper. Use whatever language you need to.
Well, if you're going to be telling a non-Klingon speaking audience this mm-hmm. song, you've got to do it in their language.
Yes, yeah, exactly right. And at these conventions, they tend to be Federation heavy. So you're right. We do have to put it in their language, right?
Exactly. Okay. Is there any other avenues in the cleric or in the Klingon culture thing that we need to address?
You know, I would just say that, I mean, I'm just kind of sharing off the cuff, right? But just like with my podcast, I really want to be open to questions. I want questions. I want warriors that need some help in their walk, in their studies of the warrior way, in reconciling their honor. Come to me. I'd be happy to talk with you, help you out, answer your questions. For the Feddies that are taking your, you know, Klingon Culture 101 classes in Starfleet Command, and you have questions about Klingon culture, bring those to me as well. If you are just a Trek fan who doesn't understand what you see as differences in Klingons over time, bring those questions to me too. I'd be really, really happy to help you out. That's what I'm here for.
How do they get a hold of you?
One way is, of course, commenting on my videos, you know, on the Kartan, the Klingon Cleric on YouTube. Coming to the live streams on Tuesdays and just asking them real time right there. You can also reach out to me on Facebook. There's a Kartan personality page for me on Facebook. They can also reach out to my human guys, Troy Pacelli. That's TroyPacelli. I'm on Facebook and MeWe.
Do they have to come to you disguised? I mean,
no, not at all. In fact, I'd prefer you don't. I prefer you come to me as honestly as possible. Drop your cloak and take off your helmet so that we can see each other as equals.
No wooden horses then.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, well, thank you for talking to us about all this.
Absolutely. I'll be back anytime you want me.
And we will probably encourage that.
Awesome.
Probably take you up on that. Thank you again.
Majka Chapla.
Right, what he said.
Let's continue the CAG podcast presentation of the benefits of CAG membership. One may ask, what do I get from my membership? Quite a lot when you consider the cost of membership. It's free. But seriously, let's look at all the things CAG has available to you. One thing at a time.
Another aspect of CAG membership is communal gaming, the ability to play games with other like-minded individuals, whether they are at the convention with you or in times like we're in now with the coronavirus, online and distant game playing. To talk about this, we have the Games Chancellor, Shizui, to give us an overview of what's available through CAG.
Hi. Well, there is a lot available through CAG with the gaming. We have Klinzaw. We have an actual group that gets together and tries to play with a Discord server and a bot. We have...
On Klinzaw, don't you even run tournaments?
Not yet, but we are going to. We are just trying to gather everyone and get them comfortable with the setting and the Kethys bot that was created. Once we do that, then we're going to start tournaments up online.
You also have instructions available, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. We have several different ways. We have videos that were created, Klinzaw Quickies, Klinzaw 101 videos on the CAG YouTube channel. We also have PDFs that were created to make it a little more simplified. And we are currently putting together a Klinzaw 101 course on CAG.org, so you can go through it and learn the basics of the game. And then you can start to play with other people and you can get certified through CAG.org.
What is Klinzaw?
Klinzaw is a chess variant, a Klingon chess variant. That's a good way to look at it. And so you just have two people that play with the pieces on the board. It's a strategic game.
The origins of the Klinzaw game actually come from a Star Trek novel written by John Ford called The Final Reflection. People have taken the references that Mr. Ford wrote in his book and have fleshed the system out to give us these Klingzav games. And there's like, I think, four or five variants of the game, one of which actually involves killing people, so we don't tend to do that one. Klingzav is a very interesting chess variant done in a Klingon motif, in a very Klingon way, the way chess is a very medieval war game of sorts. But enough about Klingzav. What else have you for us, Shizui?
We have some online games that people play on PC and that have just recently, in the past year and a half or two, have gone to console, like Star Trek Online. And we've even brought in Neverwind, the guild there as well. It's another place for people to gather together for camaraderie and just talk with each other and play games to help each other out. We have a CAG fleet in EO in all three platforms, which is the PC, the Xbox, and the PS4.
What is Star Trek Online?
Well, Star Trek Online is a multi-mass player online game, role-playing. It's less of role-playing, though, than it is for you just to go and play within the Star Trek universe. And it expands far beyond the movies and the series, and it takes the story a little bit further. They're actually quite interesting, and you can play several different species and get their outlook on things. And it's brought to you by Cryptic, and CBS and Paramount have a lot to do with it as well.
It's like a role-playing game in that all of the players aren't competing against each other. They're working towards a common goal, aren't they?
Well, each player, it is true, when you do something in fleet, you could get together and work towards a common goal together, but each player becomes their own captain and they run their own storyline, and then they can do other things like person versus environment. They're called PVEs, where you can group together and get marks and awards that you all might need to get something else. And you can do something for the fleet itself to upgrade the fleet, to be able to go into other areas and maps that are created when you put fleet marks into a project. So yes, you can run this game by yourself and do whatever it is you want, or you can also get with other people and play too. It is entirely up to you.
But essentially there's no losers in this game, but everybody that plays it is pretty much a winner, whether it's they achieve the goal they're trying to achieve or they're just interacting with other people out there in the world.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You're right. There are no losers. And when you get to interact with other people in the fleet, they also help you. They can help you acquire things that you needed to get that might have been hard for you, like get through certain missions, get fleet equipment. And yes, either way you look at it, either in the just playing hardcore or the communication aspect of it, you win either way.
Which now brings us to another type of game that you've initiated online, which is actually the role-playing version of being a Klingon.
Star Trek Adventures, yes. That was actually a friend of mine, Karan, who really pushed this forward to get it started. We had all tried out the beta when it first came out, when STA first came out by Mondifius. And we loved it, and then it kind of went off to the side because it was just the beta version. And then they came with the whole game, which had nothing, you know, had a little bit of Klingon in it, but the Klingon was still in Starfleet. And we played that. We tried to change all the characters into Klingons and tried to work it to be completely Klingon. And then they came out with a new Klingon package, and we were like, yes, the new rule book. And that just put more fire into our group and we were able to get it started again, and we have so much fun with that. We get together every Tuesday, and mostly every Tuesday. You know how role-playing groups go.
and real life goes.
And real life always gets in there. But that doesn't matter, because we're here to have fun. Yes, real life must come first, but we're here to have fun too. And so we'll always be there. And we're having a lot of fun with this STA, the Klingon rulebook.
Where are you having this fun?
On Discord. We have a specific channel in the CAG Discord server that is for the RPG. We have our own channel to be able to roll the dice that we have online. And we have even a off-script channel for RPG, which means whenever you come in, you can type in character and then leave. You don't have to be coming to a specific group at a certain time. You can just go and do whenever. And then we have the voice channel, specifically us.
Now, the Discord server is not something that you sign up for when you sign up for CAG. You need to be invited to get into it. But once you sign up for CAG, it's really an easy matter for a CAG member is already on the server to send you an invite to get you involved in all the activities that are going on the Discord server. Whether it's when you are initially contacted by your quadrant commander, or you have to talk with the ship commander that you're involved with, or you just send a message to CAG and say, "Hey, what's this Discord thing I've heard about? How can I get involved?" And somebody is going to send you an invite.
Well, actually, we have an invite permanently on the games page in CAG.org. So if you just go to the games page, you will be able to see the invite, and you could just click on it from there. And I think it might be accessible to anyone, but you will be put into the airlock, and we will ask you, if you're a member or not, and look you up.
Besides which hatch of the airlock we open up.
Yes.
You also talked about contests and challenges that are going on within CAG. You want to talk about those a little bit?
Oh, sure. I try to bring up different challenges and contests, try to get everyone to, or some people that have an interest in one or some other or all of them, to be able to do something and feel like they are participating within CAG in their own way. So I try to do these different things, and I make up little tiny rewards that I give out for winners or just for anyone that participates. Depends on if it's a contest or a challenge, of course. Like now we have the CAG holiday card contest going on to see who can come up with the best card to represent all of CAG for the holidays. And of course, I'm going to give away a little CAG swag box for the winner. And with contests, shortly we will be having the Klingon cookie contest. And I always give away a little pin that has a representation of a gingerbread cookie in the shape of a Star Trek character for anyone who makes cookies and shows them, shows a picture of it. And most of this is done through our Facebook groups, but we can also through the CAG website as well, the pictures, being displayed for contests. We've been doing we've started up our challenges with other people, like a step challenge we did recently against Starfleet International. It was another ship, and we had a couple of other ships challenge other ships throughout the fleet and in other fleets. We also have other things in the works coming. I'm just not sure what is going to happen for this holiday season. I think we were working on another challenge with them, but I don't have any more information on that one. But so we have all of these coming up, and it's really just for people to feel that they are involved with the club and to get themselves out there and be like, hey,
It's not just the feeling of being involved with a challenge, a full-blown challenge with either another ship or another group of ships. There's actually an award system within CAG for the winners of those challenges.
Oh, yes, you get a kill stripe if you win the challenge. And depending on who the challenge was against, if you challenged another Klingon ship or another Klingon, it could be a personal challenge, and you put it out there and it's public and people know that you're having this challenge and you have won this challenge, then you get a Klingon kill stripe. And the same goes for Starfleet. You get a Federation kill stripe. I think we have another one, the Romulan kill stripe as well.
You can see there's a lot of activity going on the gaming frontier of CAG. So get involved, get invited, and do something. Kapla!
Really though, when you're looking at your benefits, they will be determined by what you contribute, what you do, and how much you're willing to learn. In other words, what you get from CAG will depend on what you're willing to put into CAG. We hope this series of podcasts has whetted your appetite for doing things and left you wanting more. Ideally, if you don't find what you're looking for in CAG, help us create it for you. And remember, above all else, have fun. Kapla!